Hi, it's Richarlison. I'm so happy to sign for Tottenham. See you and come on your Spurs.
Hello and welcome back to Tottenham Hotspur, available on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also interact with the show on Twitter at Tottenham Pod, Instagram at Podspur, and on our Facebook page at Tottenham Podspur. You can also visit our website at podspur.com to check out the blog and find all of the Podspur accounts to stay up to date on everything Podspur. There will be a link in this episode description with a link to all of those accounts. So please follow the show and click subscribe to join the conversation. Thanks again for coming back home to Podspur. It's been quite the busy week for Spurs, and we're here to share our thoughts on the week that was Tottenham, especially Tottenham Twitter, I believe. For context, we're recording this on Saturday, July 2nd. So if anything sounds a little bit different when you're listening, you know that silly season can change everything very quickly, and we'll talk about that throughout the show. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm joined once again in our virtual Podspur studio by my good friends, Justin, Jeremy and Dustin. I keep combining your names when I'm trying to do it.
Justin. Yeah,
I was trying to work down some food, too, so I'm still on my sugar low right now before we get started. But it's also the 4th of July weekend here in the States, so happy 4th to all of our American listeners, and no hard feelings to our listeners across the pond. Let's start with you, Jeremy. How's everything going, my friend?
Oh, it's going really well. I mean, we broke that, 10 or 12-day signing drought that we were experiencing at Tottenham, everyone freaking out. So it's been
I thought it would never end.
It was awful. No, things are great, and I'm really glad to be back talking with you guys. And the momentum and enthusiasm at Tottenham just seems to keep growing day by day.
Yeah, it's great. It's pretty contagious too, so that's good to have. We've also got my good friend out in Bowling Green, Dustin, the stat guy, Gentile. What's up, my friend?
Hey, what's up, Matt? It's good to be back. I thought it would never end. I never thought those 12 days would be over. I thought we had signed everybody we were going to get, you know, or we were going to wait till the last second and sign like five people, because, you know, that's how we typically do it. But, you know, just be excited. We had a nice little taste midweek of talking some more potential coming in of Clement Lenglet. So that was pretty fun, but it's good to be back on here with you three guys and kind of do a long version of everything we're talking about.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have four weeks and Paratici's brought in four players. There are 2 months until the window closes. So this is very different. It's a very different feeling being a Tottenham Hotspur supporter right now. So interesting, and we'll talk all about that. And we'll start off with the big fish that landed this week. And Richarlison completes the transfer from Everton. It's a £60 million deal plus potential add-ons, which were not fully clear on what those are. And, you know, those are very tough to come by normally. But Jeremy, excited about the signing?
I am very excited. I started out very lukewarm about Richarlison. Maybe bought into the idea that he was just sort of a bad guy, cheater. He's obnoxious to play against, let's be honest. And so it's pretty easy to arrive there. But looking at him and looking at his numbers, and I'm not going to try to go too deep into those because I know Dustin has some good stuff on him. But I've gotten more and more excited about him. And the versatility he shows on the pitch, I think, is what I'm most excited about. And the fact that we're bringing him in here not as a straight, clear-cut starter, right? And I know that's something that everyone's been talking about at Tottenham. Are you a starter or not? And we're trying to get away from that. But he is definitely – this isn't a position we were desperate for. We're not desperate for an attacking player. We scored a lot of goals. But we brought him in anyway, right? So Lucas Moura, who was probably our third-best option in December, is now our fifth-best attacking option behind Kulusevski and Richarlison. And all of a sudden, Moura looks better, too, because he's not somebody you're relying on every week. So what it does for us in terms of our depth, I'm so pumped.
Yeah, me too. I've been a real big fan of Richarlison from afar. I know some people will say he's that diver, he's that instigator. It's only diving if it's not on your team. That's the way I'll say it, because people will say that, you know, Harry Kane is the biggest diver in the league. But, you know, he's on our team, so we don't say that. So it's beauty is in the eye of the beholder is one of my favorite quotes. And I think that, you know, Richarlison, as Jose would have said, is that special type of player that we needed to add into the squad, and I'm okay with that. I think we need that. I think it helps on the training pitch. I think it helps on the actual game pitch as well. And you spoke about his versatility, and I think that is the absolute biggest attribute we're going to get. We're never going to bring in someone who's going to come play second fiddle to Harry Kane. That right. is only going to be a striker, unless it's an older guy, maybe at the end of the career, you know, running time out. So to bring in a guy who can come in and rotate on the wings as well, I think is just fabulous. And I think it's going to be very, very good business. I know JR was huge on the fact that we just eliminated, was it 20 or 25% of Cudi Romero's yellow cards?
Yeah.
By bringing Richarlison in from their interactions. So very excited. I think that'll be spicy at training. I think the media team will eat that up at Spurs, and we'll see a lot of photos of those two together, which will be pretty cool. But
and they get to go on a nice long trip with each other here very soon.
Yep.
They're going to be roommates.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be great team bonding. I saw a few tweets out there that Spurs are building one of the, if not the most unlikable team in the Prem. And I like that. I'm all for that. I'm a big fan.
What did Jose say? He wanted smarts and intelligence.
Yeah, that special kind of player that I spoke about earlier. We won't say it here, but I think that that's a good thing. And I've always been a fan of, you know, those players that I hate that guy, but I'd love him on my team. And I think Richarlison fits that, and I think he's going to do very well for Spurs. Dustin, come on in with the stat bombs.
So I told you guys I did a somewhat – it was – Jeremy shared the video of all of his goals at Everton. And I was like – I was watching him, and like the first four of them were all like left foot, right foot, header, inside the box, outside the box. I was like, well, how versatile of a scorer is he? So I did – I broke it down. He scored 53 goals in his five seasons in the Premier League, 14 with the left foot, 12 with the head, 27 with the right foot. So, yeah, I mean, he is a right-footed player, but there's some good – like, he can do a little bit of everything, and that's – he scored 53 goals compared to an XG of 49.7. So he's, you know, pretty well bang on his XG. A lot of his goals are inside the box, but I even broke it down a little bit further, and I think it's like 27 of his goals were inside the 18-yard box, and then if you do the math, it's like 19 left that were inside the 6-yard box. So, I mean, it's not like he's just scoring nothing but tap-ins. He's only scored 4 penalties, which I think is big because, I mean, he's not going to add too many more to that being at Spurs. But the other thing that I thought that was really interesting about it, 461 fouls drawn in 5 seasons, which is roughly 80, just over 81 a season. Every single season he's played in the Premier League, he's been in the top 8 of that category. I think his peak was 3rd in 2017. Dele Alli actually led the league that year in fouls drawn, which sounds about right. He's completed 277 tackles in 5 seasons and 200 take-ons. His dribble percentage is almost 52%. Like, I mean, there's a lot to – we talk about the versatility to be able to play all over the attacking part of the field, but I actually think this is a player who you see can actually do a little bit more than just offensive output.
I love those. I mean, that speaks to the complete game, I think, that you're saying there. So, you know, right. He's one of those guys that's going to go in and run his socks off every shift.
And 3 players on footballreference.com, his top 3 comparable, well, not really top 3, but 3 of his comparable players statistically were Danny Ings, Raul Jimenez, and Ollie Watkins. And I was like, okay, well, that's, you know what, that's the kind of salt and pepper Spurs need to add is people with that kind of edge and with that kind of versatility. Like, I mean, we've got the best striker in the world on our team. We've got the best winger in the world on our team. We've got Kulusevski. We got Mora, who's, you know, known to lay down a hat trick in a Champions League semifinal when he has to. Like, there's, you put all that together and then you add Richarlison to it, where you got to get the chef's kiss and
quality depth.
Yes. Yeah,
come on in, Jeremy.
I caught another great stat in a piece by Charlie Eccleshare on The Athletic today. By the way, that's a really great article. But his XG is also about the same no matter where he plays on the pitch. So, whether he's on the left, on the right, or at striker, it's about the same. So I thought that was cool. If you can throw him in for Kulusevski one game, yeah, he only played, I think, about 10% of his starts have been there, but he's scoring about just as much. So that tells me the guy is basically an animal. He's athletic enough to score wherever you put him. And that, I mean, Conte has got to be salivating after the way he finished last season with hardly any options. So it's amazing.
I think also to speak to that is, you know, his goal output at Everton was 1-3. Goal contribution is 1-2, and that's with not a lot of creative players a lot around him.
Very true.
You know, so I think that, you know, if he does play some right wing, and like I think I said it in our last full pod, and Sonny's whipping crosses in instead of, I don't even know who plays left wing for, I mean, it would have been him, but, you know, who plays right wing for Everton, I think it's a much better ball and, you know, a little bit different quality. So I think he's able to get on the end of a lot more things and really kind of benefit from the passing skills of Harry Kane and Heung-Min Son. One issue I did want to address is the price tag. So 60 million, we're hearing, you know, up to another potential 10 to 20 in add-ons. So we ran a poll on our Twitter at Tottenham Pod. Yadarlison, overpaid, market value, or underpaid? We had, at time of recording, there's still 6 hours left, but we have about 200 votes, 200 on the head, actually, right now. And the overwhelming majority came up with market value. That's 80%. 13% said overpaid, and 7% said underpaid. And a couple comments on this. First from our good friend, member of Podspur, JR, at JohnRussell215, said market value and will thrive here, and has the Richarlison shooting the guns gif. I love that. Joshua at How I Follow Sport says, I say about market value, name one better proven Premier League option that was available right now, someone who can play across the whole front line, someone who is willing to be a rotation option. Those things drive the price. So I tend to agree with both of those, you know, inputs there. But Jeremy, what do you think about the value and the cost of this deal?
It's a lot of money, but let's not act like this is not what's being spent out there. So he's a proven Premier League player, Brazilian international. He's scored a fair number of goals. And if you do look at the other players that are being bought up right now, attacking players, right? So Richarlison had, what, 2 years left on his contract, and we paid 50 million plus add-ons. Jesus over at Arsenal had only 1 year left on his deal, I think, and went for 45. So I think if he had a couple more years left on his deal, they would have been paying more than we paid for Richarlison. And Rafinha is Chelsea. The last I looked, football.london had Chelsea bidding about 60 for him. So if anything, I think we probably are getting the best value for Richarlison of any of those three players. So, you know, if it's a lot of money, that may be, but that's where the market is. And that was the question, market value today. I think it was a great deal.
How about you, Dustin?
I'm with you on the market value. I was just sitting here while we were talking about strikers coming in with proven Premier League. I'd say the last proven Premier League striker we brought in was our man, Fernando Llorente. And I just looked it up. He had, in two seasons with us and across four competitions that we played in, he had a total of 13 goals and 6 assists. You know, Richarlison, and I know we paid significantly less for Llorente, and he was a bit older, and we understood that. And like I said, and I'm not here to slander the good name of Fernando Llorente, because I love that man. But, I mean, we paid a lot lower fee, and we only got 19 total goal contributions out of him. And then with Richarlison, he's had some seasons of close to those numbers on their own. I mean, this year he had, what, 10-5? He's had like a 13-3 season. You're going to have to pay. I mean, that's was proven. You're going to have to pay a little bit of money for a proven Premier League. I mean, look at Darwin Nunez going to that was who Liverpool signed in January, right, that we were linked to, right? Like, how much did they pay for him? About the same. And they don't know how he's – they don't – I mean, yeah, he's scored a few goals in the Premier League since then, but – he's not necessarily a proven.
No, really. that was Diego Jota. They brought in Darwin Nunez this summer window.
That's what I was saying.
Yep.
That's what I was saying. I'd say he's not Premier League proven by any means. And they paid, wasn't it something similar that we paid for Richarlison?
I believe so.
And Richarlison's 25 years old. I mean, he had 15 goal contributions this year. And I think that might have been just Premier League, but it might be across all competitions. I'm still saying he's probably bang on pace for that right now. Like this next season coming up, he's going to get plenty of minutes, and we're going to get some quality out of him.
Yeah, so it was 10 goals, 5 assists in 30 matches. So that, you know, 1-2 or 1-3, depending on you're looking at goals or goal contributions there. So 10-5 in the Premier League on a very poor Everton side. Jeremy, what do you see him doing for Spurs this season?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think he scores more than 10. I think he scores 12 or 13, to be honest with you, with another 4 or 5 assists. I mean, he'll play a lot. And he's a guy that's going to come off the bench and score. So, you know, if you look at like 10 games, Does he start 4 or 5 and come in as a sub 4 or 5? I don't know. It's so hard not knowing what Conte is going to do. But I will say this. We're getting him right in his prime. 25 to 30, right? Son, think about this. Son is what, 30 years old now? And I'm not comparing the two because Son is incredible. But if you ask a Spurs fan, we still feel like we have a lot of years left of Heung-min Son. And we're getting Richarlison at 25, having just done, you know, put up those numbers as a young player. So I'll take for Richarlison 12 goals maybe this year.
All right. How about you, Dustin?
You took the number right up on that. I was going to say about 12. I think that's
sorry, Dustin.
No, it's good. No, it's, I think that's right about what we're going to expect, because he's going to start a fair amount of games in the Premier League. He's going to start some games in those FA Cup and Carabao Cup. I mean, we won't be surprised if he makes a start in a Champions League. Like, he's going to play minutes. And I think, thinking about the Premier League now, and the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup, they're going to have 5 subs. And that's a big thing. Like, we're not going to have, we're going to be able to bring him in and have those extra options and still be able to do what Conte wants to do. So I think 12 spot on. He might exceed that.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go 13 and 7 assists. I'm going to go 20 goal contributions total. I think he at least gets 5 more than last season. That was a bad team. So I don't know if those numbers fluctuate between goals and assists, but I do think he's closer to 20 just based on where he was last year. The also super exciting bit that we have to throw in there about Richarlison was his post on his Instagram story this morning of him bellied up to Hector Bellerin telling him where to go shove it. So he is already a Spurs, and he's already endearing his heart to the Spurs supporters. So we've got a lot more to talk about here on Podspur, including our rumor roundup. We'll look at the transfer window, what business is left for Spurs. We'll talk about the new performance director that Spurs just signed today, and look at the set piece coach who could be coming in to hopefully elevate Spurs and set pieces defensively and offensively. But we'll do that right after this short break. Welcome back to Podspur. We're going to shift gears a bit and talk about the remainder of silly season. As I mentioned in the intro, we got about 2 months left, and we've already made 4 deals. Again, we're recording this on Saturday, July 2nd, and I think this upcoming week is going to be a bigger outgoing week for Spurs as we get some players out before the trip to South Korea, maybe 1 or 2 more in so that they can participate in that preseason under Conte, and that would be very important and I think very good for the long haul of the club and the players getting into the system. So we're going to kick it over to Dustin, who's going to give us a little rumor roundup.
All right, so looking at our rumor around here, we're going to play a little buy or sell right here. So I've got some incomings that have been rumored with Spurs and some outgoings that are rumored with Spurs. I'm just going to let you guys kind of freestyle your opinion on, do you buy the rumor, do you sell the rumor? So we're going to start with I've got 3 outgoing and 2 incoming. So we're going to start with an outgoing here, and we're going to go Harry Winks. Looks like Everton was big on him. He thought there might be even a package deal with him and Richarlison, or him and Anthony Gordon and Richarlison. A lot of things going on there. But now it's looking like that's cool a little bit. And now Leeds is probably going to be that front runner to sign Harry Winks. So we'll go to you, Jeremy. Are you buying or selling Winks to Leeds?
I'm buying that. I think that, well, Leeds specifically, I'm not sure. But will Harry Winks be sold? I feel like it's virtually guaranteed at this point. Just because I don't think he's going to get into the team hardly ever. So, you know, I love Harry Winks. I really do. I think he's a been very solid for us, and he's obviously one of our own. But, you know, at some point, I think for his sake, he's got to move on.
Business is business. What about you, Matt? Buy or sell?
I'm buying it, and I'm buying it to Leeds too. I think having just sold Calvin Phillips, I think he can come in, go into that team and start right away. Very much a system guy, as I've said before. If you've listened to this podcast over the years, or if you follow me on Twitter, you know I love Harry Winks. I'm a big fan of Winks Siesta. I think he means everything he does. And I think he could go to Leeds and fit in very nicely and get some consistent game time right away.
I'm also buying that, and I'm also going to buy it to Leeds too, because I think Winks is a good tempo man. And if you watched the Leeds last year, they leaked goals, and I think he will help them. And I would also like to reiterate that the fact that Harry Winks only scores bangers. So we'll go with an incoming here. And this one I'm not so sure about, but it's been linked quite a bit the last few days. So we're going to talk about Yuri Tielemans from Leicester. He's valued and this is in U.S. dollars according to Transfer Market. Oh, I just had it. Here it is. Yuri Tielemans is valued at 60.5 million U.S. Matt, we'll go back to you on this one. Buy or sell Yuri Tielemans in?
I'm selling this one. This one actually started earlier in the summer and then kind of went quiet for a bit. It picked up as Arsenal became interested, so I think it was very much a smokescreen. I just don't see the fit in our midfield with the depth that we have and the quality that we have. Could he get some game time? Sure. With the five subs, I think he could definitely get in there. But am I willing to sacrifice Oliver Skipp's development for bringing in him for, 60 million or whatever it is? Absolutely not. So I'm selling this one.
Jeremy, what about you?
Yeah, I wish I could provide some debate here, but I really don't see it either. I just we have four such strong midfield players now. I just don't see where, unless you're going to bring in a player that is very much a niche player in it to play in a like a 3-5-2, but I really don't think that's where we're headed in the midfield. So no, I don't. I agree with Matt. I'd rather see Skip out there at this point.
Well, Jeremy, hold on to that idea of 3-5-2 because we're going to cycle back around to that in a second. But I'm
Oh
also
boy.
selling this. I like our midfield four. We've got, I think it's really good. We're going to put a little bit of a caveat on this one. Our next name we're going to do buy or sell. It's Jack Clarke to Sunderland. Now, I think we'd all agree that he's destined. I think Sunderland's a good fit for him, especially since he's helped them get promotion back to the championship. But on this one, we're going to buy or sell that we'll make a minimum of 6 million off the sale of Jack Clarke. Jeremy, what do you think? Buy or sell 6 million to Sunderland for Jack Clarke?
I'll throw it out there, Jeremy, too, that are you going for a 6 million profit, Dustin, or that we're going to sell him for 6 million?
We're going to sell him for 6 million
Oh, okay.
because I know he was a $10 million signing
Right.
when we brought him in. So that'd be a, yeah, we're definitely not getting
Yeah.
16 million off of him. So no, $6 million for the sale of Jack Clarke to Sunderland. Buy or sell?
I don't think Daniel Levy's gonna let him go for a penny less than that. So I'll buy that. I don't know what it will end up being, but it's gonna hurt Levy's heart that he's losing any money on him. So I think six. I'll take six. Yeah.
Matt, what about you? Buy or sell 6 million?
I'm going to buy that with a caveat of a pretty hefty 20 to 30% sell-on fee. So that, if he does go to Sunderland and stay there and impress in the championship, which he did for Leeds, but if he does find his form, then and Sunderland move him on, that we get a good chunk of that as well.
For another little fun caveat about Jack Clarke, when we made that signing for Jack Clarke, he was the guy that broke the long drought. So everyone's going to say, oh, Tongi, actually, it's actually the anniversary of
Right.
the Jack Clarke tweet, because everyone's like, oh, Tongi Ndombele was our first signing in 18 months. No, you're wrong. It was Jack Clarke. And now he's destined to
Exactly.
be a footnote of people who obsess like us over Spurs. Let's do another incoming here. And we're going to talk about one that's really picked up steam today. And that is free agent Jesse Lingard. So, Jeremy, are you going to buy or sell Jesse Lingard coming to Spurs?
Oh, gosh. I mean, from what I've seen so far, I don't think that's happening. It just doesn't. I haven't seen it anywhere terribly reputable yet. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody else has. But yeah, I don't want to go dead air on the podcast here. And be honest, I really don't know what to think about this one. I haven't really processed it yet. So let's kick it over to Matt so I don't leave us hanging.
Well, let me give you a little bit of insight before this also. I looked at it. Our first thought was he's going to cost too much money. Last year, United, he only made 75K a week. I say only 75K a week. He made 75K a week, which if you think about, his name and how they regard him, 75K is a moderate price tag for him too. So, Matt, what about you? Are you going to buy or sell Jesse Lingard Spurs?
I'm going full buy on this one. I'm all in on it. I think that if you look at, what Jeremy said earlier, that Lucas Moura is probably our fifth option right now. I think that Jesse Lingard would be a much better fifth option than Lucas Moura, just coming into the squad. I also am going full buy on this because it fucks West Ham. I know they really want him back, and he's like David Moyes' like number one target. So let's do it. I think he's a feisty little guy. I think anyone can come in under Conte and really kind of find form. And with the five subs and the World Cup in the middle of the season, why not get Sonny some rest and play him out on the left or Richarlison out there and rotate everyone.
Jeremy, what are you thinking now? Buy, sell, just
Well,
surrender?
I like him. I'm just not sure if we'll get him. But he's English. So, I
Helps
mean,
the
that hasn't come
quota.
up. Yeah, I mean, and when we talk about Spence in a bit, that's the key too. I mean, some of these deals are more likely to get done just for that factor. So, but yeah, we'll see, I guess.
He scored 9 goals and 16 appearances in that, you know, lone spell at the Hammers. So I think he can come on, and if you can bottle that Lightning, I think he could be a true asset.
Yeah. It's an interesting one for sure. I'm not really sure if I'm buy or sell yet on that one, but there's a lot of things to be intrigued about, and there's a lot of things I go, I'm not so sure about. And then we'll do our last one here. And this is one, the three of us, we talked about this week when we saw this, but Giovanni Lo Celso, the rumor is that Juventus is interested in the sale of him around that 25 million pound mark. So, Jeremy, we'll come back to you in here. Are you going to buy or sell Lo Celso to Juventus?
Juventus? Oh, that's interesting. I was so certain that Villarreal were going to pay and get him. He was.
I still think that's a possibility, especially because there's the talk of Pau Torres, which, I mean, I'm not going to get into that one yet because I know we're going to talk about center backs here in a little bit, but I still think that's not out of the question.
I'm kind of more apt to sell on this one and think he's going to stay in Spain. I think that's – I don't know if he's going to really get better and be in a better situation than he was last year. But maybe that's still just the bias, the pain of watching his output at Tottenham. I know he wasn't as bad as Tanguy. I know he had things that came up against him. But, man, some of those performances just left you hurting. So, I don't know. Maybe Juve see something that we don't, but I can't see that happening.
Matt, what about you, buy or sell?
I'm going to buy it with a couple caveats. I'd like to see him have until January under Conte to find his form. I do think he could do it. And I'm gonna put the same caveat as far as the him going to Juve that I put for Jack Clark. If there's a sizable sell-on fee, I could see Giovanni Lo Celso going to the Serie A and absolute balling up. It's a league where you're allowed a little bit more time on the ball. You know, it's not as physical as the Premier League. So I could see him doing very well and maybe impressing a bigger Spanish club, say a Madrid or a Barcelona, and, you know, kind of garnishing a transfer to one of those two clubs who you know will pay top dollar. So I still think there's a player there with Giovanni Lo Celso. I just don't think we have been able to utilize him enough correctly to find his form, if that makes any sense. Like, you know, he played some right wing for us. He was our best player coming back after COVID. I think that's still in my mind after the COVID restart. I think he was absolutely phenomenal, and he kind of carried us for a bit there.
There was an argument there whether or not he was going to be the player of the season that year for us.
Yeah, I think rightfully so. So, I do think if he goes, I want to recoup every pound that was spent on him and also hopefully have that nice sell-on fee.
Yeah, I like what you said, though, about giving him some more time under Conte. I think GLC, everyone wants to put GLC and Tanguy and Ndombele in the same box. And I actually mentioned this in my summer piece of top moments of the year when I talked about the move away for Tanguy and Ndombele and GLC and Dele Alli. I said it's not really fair to put to put the moves for Tanguy and Dele on the same category as GLC, because I think we haven't got to see the full best of GLC because of circumstance, not necessarily because of effort or whatever issues Dele Alli's been dealing with. I never doubted GLC's effort on the pitch. I thought he seemed the guy that would bust it for us, but it just always seemed like we never got the best of it.
That's fair. Very fair.
And that's all I got I've got more we can talk about for interest of time. I think those are five fairly concrete, you know, deals that we've seen have a tiny bit of traction to them. So we'll keep it at that. And I would love to talk about whose name I now know how to pronounce, Sasha Kalajdzic. I would love to put him in there, but I've just not seen really anything more.
No, that kind of died out. That went quiet. Yeah. I think we killed it on that.
Hey, but episode. You know what? You did say there are 2 months left in silly season, so maybe.
There are. So staying on that category of silly season, you know, if you haven't already, check out our second episode. We partnered up with the Barcelona podcast and talked all about Clement Lenglet, who's Fabrizio Romano saying it's basically done. It's just got to be – it's the final details. He's coming in on loan, and it's seeming like Spurs are going to be paying a lot of that loan. He's going to be making over 100K per week at Spurs. We had a great conversation with the Barcelona pod. We got some great insight, so I don't want to, you know, cycle back too much on that. If you have some time, go back. It's like a half an hour episode, but it's a great listen. If you want to wait for him to be at the club and hold the shirt, I understand that. But when that does happen, go listen to that. It's great. Dustin, are you hearing any other noise on the center back front?
I mean, I've listened to almost all of the latest episode of Golden Guest that came out. I think it was last night, maybe this morning. And, you know, Ali Gold really talked about how he thinks that there's still a possibility that, you know, Spurs could maybe even go in for a Gvardiola or even a Bastoni. Like, it's not out of the question that something might happen because there's still kind of things going on with there. I still think, like we talked about previously with Pau Torres and the Giovanni Lo Celso connection there, I still think that that gives us an opportunity on that. I haven't really seen a ton this week about any more center back development other than what we talked about with Clement Lenglet. And thanks to Dan again for joining us on Tuesday night. That was a lot of fun. I did something that was mentioned on Golden Guest was the fact that Lenglet can also play in the center of a back three, which I think is interesting because – that's we've talked about needing to bring in two center backs, one that can play on the left and one that can play in the center. So, you know, I still think there's a really good chance that we're bringing in another center back. It's just a matter of who. And I've also said I've also put my neck out there and said we're going to bring in Gleason Bremer. So, you know, hopefully I'd like to be right about that, but I've been wrong pretty times in my life before.
I think Bremer fits the bill, and it was reported that his agent was going to London this week, and it was going to be between Chelsea and Spurs. That other lot wasn't even mentioned as far as being a London team. But, Jeremy, what are your thoughts? Do you think that Lenglet coming in on loan is the last bit of bolstering of the center-back grouping, or do you see maybe one more coming in as well?
Well, I think that will probably solidify the left center-back area. I still wouldn't be surprised if Rodon or Tanganga either were loaned or moved and then we brought in another center back. But first of all, Barcelona Pod, that was a great episode. Really enjoyed that. And I felt like we were able to learn quite a lot about Lenglet. I'm going to continue to butcher the name here. Lenglet?
Lenglet.
Okay. listen, if what we've been hearing is true, he has a lot of potential and has run into some difficulties, and this happens a lot. Players get sort of stale in their systems or on their clubs, and they need to move on. So, for a loan with possibly an option to buy for what seems like would be a very low, the numbers I was seeing for an option were like well under 10 million. I don't know if that will come out to be true, but if it is, it's great. And I think this is also a great opportunity to put in a little shout for Ben Davies, because it's not like we're desperate and hurting for a player in this position. Look at this. We had our last 15 Premier League games last year. We allowed 9 goals, okay? 0.6 goals per game. Our last 10 games last year in the run-in, we allowed 5 goals, half a goal per game. For the last quarter of the season, Tottenham Hotspur let in 4 goals, and Ben Davies played every single match. So I know that's about our entire squad and not just Davies, but we're really not going to improve on that level of stinginess in the back line. So I think Lenglet and Davies are more than enough. And it's not even that we've settled. I think we have depth there.
I would argue that Ben Davies was the number one most improved player since Antonio Conte's return.
Awesome.
You know,
I support that claim.
I like those stats to back that up. Moving on into the next kind of deal that we're also hearing is essentially done, and that's Jed Spence from Middlesbrough, who played on Nottingham Forest on loan last season. Watched an awesome 2-minute video clip, I would say, online of him versus the Gunners and him just absolutely turning Martinelli, the star boy that they call him, inside and out, and you know, just using him essentially. So
I think Arsenal still might be lost in the woods after that game.
that might have done it, but I really hadn't seen too much of Spence before watching that clip, and I kind of went on YouTube and went down the rabbit hole and watched some more Spence after that. And I gotta say, I really like what I see with him. I know you guys will probably mention a bit of the same, but he is a grown man. He's a big dude. He's fast. He's strong. He can put a ball into an area. I think that for the 15 to 20 million we're hearing for this, this could be an absolute coup, could be an absolute steal. At first, I kind of thought he was coming in for the future, but I could see him, you know, very much like Ryan Sessegnon nailed down a spot under Conte. I could see Spence come in and do much of the same. How about you, Dustin?
Oh, 100%. I like to watch the championship playoff, the promotion playoff, because I think it's a lot of fun and it's a lot of energy. But
it's awesome to get a trophy for finishing third.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind.
It's great. I mean, but I purposely watched those Nottingham Forest three matches because I wanted to see, you know, this is a big time pressure situation. It's not as close to the Premier League he's going to play, because obviously he played against Arsenal and other Premier League teams in the FA Cup. But when it comes to high pressure moments, that's about as big of a high pressure game as he's going to get. And he had three very solid games. I like him a lot. He's got good size. And I mentioned this in our group chat earlier this week. I also think getting him in now would be good, because we have the likes of a Matt Doherty in our side who can, you know, who's got Premier League experience at that right wing back spot. You know, there, maybe he can, you know, there's some tutelage that could happen there. I think, you know, you're giving him a veteran guy. Matt Doherty, I know he divides opinion. I know he's getting back to full form, but I think he could, you know, help him kind of, you know, understand the ropes a little bit better. And I think that's going to be an interesting, if we can line him, I think that could be something we could look forward to.
And let's also bring up the fact that he is English. Help out that quota. What are your thoughts on Spence, Jeremy?
I love him. Love him. I mean, how could you not like the way the guy plays? It's kind of what I hope Sessegnon becomes when he gets back to full form and trusts his body again, just being quick and physical and not so cautious. But Spence is amazing. I mean, I know he hasn't played a minute in the Premier League yet, but his physicality and his speed, I believe, will transfer over. And he's English, like you just said. I don't think we're linked to another English wingback, right wingback at this point. They're Italian, and we can't do it. We just can't. There's also another interview from Chris Wilder that came out today, and this guy's a rip. I mean, have you ever heard of a manager that will just talk about transfers this much and just
so open about it?
Say things that should not be said during negotiations. But Football.London put out another update just a couple hours ago with quotes from him in the Northern Echo, and he said he was hopeful it would come to a quick conclusion because it would help everybody. You know, he also said it might not be straightforward, but he's hoping it goes quick. And I also think they've brought in a player, I forget the guy's name, but that would probably fill in for him. You got that, Dustin?
Yeah, I don't know the guy's name, but I remember I've heard that as well.
So all signs point to the fact that Spence will be with us. I think he'll be there for the flight to Korea. That's just my hunch.
I do like you bringing up Sessegnon. So Spence is 21, Sess is 22, and you mentioned the physicality that Spence plays with, and I think Sess, where he's more of a speed and technical, agile guy. So I think to be able to have those two young players on either side, getting them meaningful minutes in the Prem, maybe even in the Champions League as well, really bodes well for the future. Because, you know, I think back as my first days watching Spurs and the two fullbacks bombing down the flanks, and to see those two, you know, hopefully carry that on, that could be very cool. Dustin, sorry I cut you off.
No, you're good, man. I'm good at cutting people off too. I also, in that same Golden Guest, the most recent Golden Guest podcast too, they were talking about how the issue really isn't a matter of if it's going to get done. It's more just, you know, getting that right fee. And, you know, Ali Gold had a really good suggestion of, well, that's where we got to throw in those performance-based numbers on there. You know, if we can make up some of that money, that might be the way we need to go. I also heard I forget if it was View from the Lane. I think it actually was View from the Lane, that Daniel Levy's taken over that deal because he actually has like a personal family connection with, I think it's either Jed Spence's family or Jed Spence's agent, one of the two. So that's kind of why he took over that deal. I'm like, that's a really interesting development. Because I know when we all heard Daniel Levy was taking over that, we're like, okay, here we go.
Interesting.
Over some pennies.
We'll see what happens there. I totally expect that one to get done. If you are listening, you know, we are also planning on getting together with the American Toffees to do a full Richarlison breakdown. I know we talked about him in the opening, and then we've got some Nottingham Forest folks in the works to talk about Spence if that one does get over the line as well. So we'll try to do those with each of the signings that actually go through. Again, if you haven't listened to that one on Clement Lenglet with the Barcelona podcast, go check that out. Spurs were also making news in the front office today with the, I'm going to butcher this name, Gretar Steinsson. I don't know if I got that or whatnot. Has been named Tottenham's new performance director. He is a former Iceland international who played against us in the Premier League during his time at Bolton, and who also lists AZ Alkmaar amongst his former clubs. Gretar joins us from the Icelandic FA, where he has been working as their technical advisor. Prior to this, he held senior roles at Everton, where he was the head of recruitment and development, and at Fleetwood Town, where he also served as the technical director. So it's very interesting to see these backroom positions kind of start filling up. I think because we were so used to Daniel Levy doing these, you know, jobs on his own. So I think it's cool to get more of a footballing perspective in there and bring in some new names. You know, might not be someone we've heard of, but if you think about back to the World Cup and Iceland's rise, you know, very much of a program on the rise. They had a golden generation come through, and he was there for that. So very cool to see that coming in. There's also talk that set piece coach Gianni Vio will be coming in. He apparently was Roberto Mancini's like right-hand man with the Italian national team. And, you know, looking at set pieces is a great article. It's a year old now. It's on The Athletic. If you don't subscribe to The Athletic, it's totally worth it, and you can get it pretty cheap now. But Gianni Vio apparently he looks at set pieces as teams have about 200 set pieces every season. Why would you waste 200 chances to score is his line in that. And I like that. I can back that a lot. Reportedly, he works with defending the set pieces as well as administering them as well. And he's got over 2,000 combinations on the attacking side. So, Jeremy, how do you feel about bringing in these football personnel to kind of bolster out positions that maybe we saw Daniel Levy and Steve Hitchin kind of do in the past?
Yeah, well, it shows a great contrast to last summer when reportedly one of the things keeping us from bringing Conte in was just not wanting his full staff. I mean, I don't know how much truth there was to that, but it was said. So I'm happy, you know, in the office end of it with Paratici getting another guy in, that on top of the brought somebody in recently to help in the scouting department too. To me, it just speaks to an overhaul of football infrastructure at Tottenham and just sort of maybe Levy just sort of letting go of the reins a little bit and just allowing the football side of things to really mature. So it's exciting. And in terms of the set piece guy, I think every Spurs supporter will be really, really happy about that, because that's just been, it's been such a weakness the last few years, and it just seems like it shouldn't be. It's not
both ways, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's incredible. I don't even understand it. And I think that bringing in a fresh pair of eyes to look at the players that we have and come up with a plan. And somebody, one of the three of us was going to make the joke about not letting Harry Kane take any more free kicks. So I'll just take the low hanging fruit.
Be
there.
That guy. Hopefully Gianni Vio sees it the same way as us.
Yeah, no, I think, man, that's exciting. That's really exciting. Ali Gold, actually, he reported somebody told him that it was the equivalent to another signing. Like, you're going to feel it. Right. Like having another player on the pitch. So
I think it also kind of, you know, kind of mimics Liverpool brought in a throw-in coach a few seasons back and were able to get some like almost like fast breaks on throw-ins and a lot of throw-ins that led to goals. So I think it's something that
we don't need a throw-in coach. We just need Callum to come back and, you know, throw Serge Aurier the ball really fast again.
Right.
I think it's something like bringing in a coach like this is something that you don't think of until you think of or until you hear it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, oh shit, that makes sense. Why didn't we do that sooner? Like you mentioned, it's been such a problem for years. So, Dustin, what are your thoughts on these guys coming in to fill out the front office?
I mean, I think they're two really good two names that I've heard of. I mean, like you hit the nail on the head with the Iceland Gold Generation. Like they were an exciting team. They did well in Euro leading up to that. I don't think they made it out of the group stage of the World Cup, but they played a fun game. They played really three really interesting, exciting games. I remember in that World Cup. I think I heard a stat, which of course I'm going to be bringing the stat in. We scored the sixth fewest set piece goals last year, and the teams with the most set piece goals were Man City and Liverpool. So I don't think it's a causation, but I think there is a correlation there between those two teams doing really, really well, and them playing and then them scoring on those, like I said, those 200 opportunities. You got to convert. If you can convert those at a pretty good rate, that's, I mean, they're hard to defend. Like I said, they didn't give us any stats on the defense, but I mean, it just, how many seasons in a row now? It's been since noticeable. Jose's time, when it seemed like every time we'd be up 1-0 in the 80th minute, like the Wolves game that year when we went up 1-0 in the first minute with Tom Ndombele, and the 80th minute, sure enough, bam, free kick, 1-1, There's one point. There's other examples that I can mention too, but like if we can get those two things situated, I mean, think about that. We're going to be eliminating goals against and adding goals for. That's positive in both ways. So two positives always make a positive. That's so your math lesson for the day.
The new coach, he also will work on defending set pieces then.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. I completely missed that aspect because that's been a train wreck as well.
Yep.
And Justin just said it, but how nervous do we get anytime they line up? We give away a stupid foul outside the box and we all got our heads in our hands knowing what's coming. So
especially in the last 10 minutes of a game.
There it is.
But yeah, so we hit you with a lot of stats, a lot of facts, some names today. I think this was definitely a good run through. But before we sign out, Jeremy, any last points you want to bring up or any last thoughts you have?
You know, looking forward to getting players back in the training ground and some really awesome, sexy training videos from Tottenham Hotspur. I love when they're just standing around, stretching together. I'll watch any of the content that they put out there. I'll eat it right up. So,
oh, speaking of that, I totally whiffed on a topic we were going to talk about. I want to read out a great tweet Jeremy had about Spurs play.
Oh, yeah, and Spurs play.
Yep, so Spurs play is supposed to be announced, I believe, the 5th, July 5th.
Yeah,
The Spurs streaming Tuesday. Service. It'll be interesting to see, I think, what that entails. As you know, lower leagues have the EFL, but because of streaming rights and whatnot with you know, the Premier League and broadcasting rights, it'll be interesting to see what actually goes on there. But Jeremy tweeted out, and if you're not following Jeremy, follow him at JDM2241 on Twitter. Just so we're all clear about not lining Enix pockets, I will be subscribing to Spurs Play the very second it is realized I am craving this content. So I think he went there with that, you know, with the training videos as well.
Gotta have it.
You gotta have it. I think that, and you know, another piece of lying in the pockets we kind of joked about in our chat, and I tweeted about, and I got a lot of, oh, you know, it brings the club money is the Getir sponsor on the training wear. I've always been I've always bought training kit, the training tops. I like them. Like, I'm a PE teacher. I'll wear them to school. Like the quarter zip stuff like that. They're great. But and as of late, I've been buying my jerseys from not so reputable sources. So, but I have backed the club in the financial sense of buying the training wear. But I think that's going to stop unless I can. I think it was Austin who said it on WhatsApp. Or it might have been you, Dustin. One of the two of you said, maybe you can buy the ladies' version. A bunch of sizes up. Yeah.
I saw the 4X and I was like, how big is that actually?
Might have to go look to the size chart on that one, but
it only went up to an XL. I did check.
All right, so Spurs have quite a few other modes of income coming in now that they are billboarding you on the training wear, and they're going to be hooking you for that streaming service as well. So did want to mention that.
And there's a gigantic concert going on literally right now in the middle of the stadium.
And there was one last night as well. So I think that non-football revenue and income is going to keep increasing, which we've kept, been hearing about. Did I cut you off, Jeremy? Were you finished, or you got anything else for us?
No, I'm just, I hope we keep spending money and building the football side of things, because then people won't care about buying an expensive kit. That's what it comes down to. So maybe that's all going to even out. In the meantime, I'm watching Spurs play no matter what, because I need it. I've got
to. Yeah, I'm going to end up doing it too. You know, we all will. Dustin, what do you got for us for your final thoughts?
I think this – I told you guys in the group chat, I think this is going to be a week of predominantly outgoing, so I wouldn't be surprised to see the Lingley and the Jed Spence deals get over the line, but I think we're going to see the names of Steven Bergvine and Harry Winks and maybe a Tongi and Ndombele to Galatasaray. You know, maybe
Turkey.
We'll see what happens. Turkey. Turkey's always good. But – I think this is going to be more of an outgoing week, but I think that's going to be, it's good for business too, because that's going to, more money in the pocket. Also goes along with that war chest we have. Maybe there gives us an opportunity, even after we get back from this summer tour and all that, to, deal to deadline days, not till August 31st or September 1st or whenever the exact day is. So some extra money is always good, because you never know, we might drop a last minute bomba on us.
I got the socks. Is there any like bootleg makeshift trophy we're competing for in South Korea? Like,
yes, there is. I have it here. I think it might be like the iTech Cup.
You'll never sing that.
Yes. I think when we play, it's either when we're in Korea playing Sevilla or we're in Israel playing Roma. We're playing for some random trophy.
I think it's the in Israel.
I do too.
The FFP Cup, is it?
Oh.
Oh.
Isn't I like it? That. What? Oh, I like that.
Is that like where you like elevate your leg when you sprain your ankle or something like that?
Shut up. I'm in a boot. I'm in a boot. My whole house is sick. Summer is not starting off well in my household. But also, shout out 8 months of the day, I believe, or roughly 8 months, not to the day, but Nuno being sacked. And he's linked for a job that Dustin actually has a kit of that team.
Al Ittihad in Saudi Arabia.
So
thank you to my friend Perry Swack for procuring me that jersey, who is a Chelsea fan, but I forgive him for that because he's been there for me for a long time.
There you go. Big shout out to Nuno. Wish him luck. But that about wraps things up for this episode. Thanks for coming back home to Podspur. We appreciate your support. Again, if you're not already, check out all the show's accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow each of the guys and check out our blog and website at podspur.com. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and a review on whichever podcast platform you listen to. 5 stars goes a long way to helping fellow Spurs supporters find the show. Thanks again for tuning in. I've been your host, Matt. For Jeremy and Dustin, we'll see you next time. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.